Welcome everybody to Anime Union. Today we're going to be continuing our rewatch of Is This a Zombie? I'm your host, Ed.
And I'm your host, Jacob.
And today we are going to be watching episodes 4, 5, and 6 and doing a recap of them. Last week we did episodes 1 through 3. If you guys want to listen to that, you can always go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts and search for Anime Union and look up the episode. But without further ado, I think we get into it. Jacob, you want to go ahead and give us a recap on episodes 4, 5, and 6?
Okay, so episode 4 is titled, Woe Am I Glowing. We are introduced to some new characters. One of them, I don't think will play such a major part later down in the plot line, but or actually I don't think either of these two new characters will be too big to the plot line. So in this episode, Haruna and Seraphine are cooking dinner at the beginning of the episode. Seraphine kind of takes over and makes this just really disgusting dish. And in typical anime fashion, the guy eats the dish for the girl and it actually kills Ayumu. So he decides, yeah, we better not eat this. Let's order a pizza. And he hears the doorbell ring and he thinks it's the pizza guy already showing up. He goes and answers the door and it's Kerberos, who is a guardian of the underworld. So Kerberos was sent kind of to collect lost souls, if you will, and bring them back to the underworld. So yeah. He ends up attacking Ayumu, and then they end up back inside by the dinner table, and Kerberos figures out that you actually brought Ayumu back to life, so that's the reason his soul didn't make it to the underworld, and Kerberos kind of backs off. He then senses a murder taking place close by, so him and Ayumu decide to go and investigate that. And while they're there, they actually run into this serial killer who has been going around killing all kinds of people, one of them being Ayumu. And this serial killer stabs both of them, and Kerberos dies. Well, he turns into, I would say, like a sparkle.
Yeah.
So Ayumu then returns back home.
But does he actually die, or do you think he goes back to the underworld?
Yeah, I don't know if he's dead for sure yet. So we'll have to find out if he returns later on in the series. Yeah. So Ayumu returns home and starts talking to you, and we kind of find out why she doesn't speak and why she doesn't show emotions. So this episode pretty much kind of goes on to explain that her magic power is kind of stored in her words and her emotions, and that's kind of why she has them sealed away by not talking, and also the armor she wears. And at the end of this conversation, she actually starts crying because she thinks that Ayumu hates her and that he's going to leave her, which really upsets her. And Ayumu basically says, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be by your side forever. And then it kind of pans to the next day, and a whale megalo is attacking the town, and Haruna calls this megalo, this whale megalo, the ever-beaten, never-victorious whale. And then you'll see, if you pay attention to the kanji, the name of the whale is actually ever-victorious, never-beaten. So she has a little bit of a mix-up in her genius. So Ayumu and Seraphine end up leading the attack on this whale, and Haruna is kind of just there for support. It looks like the whale is kind of falling out of the sky or diving into the city. And Haruna puts up a barrier to kind of hold this whale up. And of course, Ayumu turns into his magical garment girl. And this time he uses 1,000% of his body's power to defeat this whale. And then at the end of this episode, we flash to the hospital that Kyoko's at. And we see what looks like her being murdered or something. She's dead. And that pretty much sums up the first episode. And then we get into episode 5, which is titled, yeah, that's Kyoto Tofu. And we have another new character in this episode. It's Haruna's head teacher from her school. And I feel like after watching this episode, she kind of becomes a good secondary character to the plot.
The teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So this episode starts off with Seraphim being a vampire, needs blood. And you see her and Haruna kissing. And then Seraphim bites her neck and starts sucking her blood. And of course, Ayumu's like, I get the whole blood sucking, but why'd you need to kiss her? And Seraphim basically goes on to say that it's an anesthetic, so Haruna wouldn't feel any pain. And Ayumu's like, well, if all you need is blood, why don't you kiss me? And Seraphim basically tells him, I wouldn't suck the blood of, what is it? I wouldn't suck the blood of a maggot who shuts himself in the closet and touches himself, or something along those lines. So Seraphim's still pretty much ripping into Ayumu.
Yeah, of course.
Ayumu gets a phone call, and it's actually Haruna's head teacher, and she kind of explains why she sent Haruna to... She was supposed to go to Kyoto, but she ends up in Tokyo. So the school teacher kind of just says, yeah, I sent her to... Or I tried to send her to Kyoto to get Kyotofu, and Haruna ended up in Tokyo looking for Toe Jam. So this leads to Haruna's head school teacher kind of explaining that Haruna is bad with names of items and people, and that she's really only ever remembered one person's name. And it turns out that the person is Ayumu. And then, so far. So after that phone call, Ayumu actually gets another phone call. And then this time it's Kyoko, who remember in the end of episode 4, we believe to be dead. So he gets a call from Kyoko, and she's kind of wanting to set up a date for the two of them. And Ayumu's like, yeah, that'd be great. You know, I know of this great place. Why don't we meet there? So they end up meeting in the graveyard. And it's at this moment we kind of get a huge character development for Kyoko. Because she actually confesses to being the murderer. And she's also a magical garment girl and possibly a vampire. She begins fighting with Ayumu. And then Seraphim and Haruna arrive and start joining in on the fight. And it looks like Ayumu, Haruna, and Seraphim have defeated Kyoko. And then Kyoko pretty much reveals that she has 10 more lives to use. So Kyoko launches another attack, but this time Yu arrives and blocks the attack. And that is the end of episode 5.
That's a hell of a way to end the episode.
Yep, it is. This is a good way to end that one. So going into episode 6, this one is titled Yes, I Summon Death. We have another new character, and I think out of all 3 episodes, this is probably one of the new characters that is going to be most important to the plot line. So you and Kyoko start battling, right? Yu grabs Mistletane and transforms into a magical garment girl. And then she kind of takes Kyoko off to a more secluded area, and she begins killing Kyoko and kind of whittling down her lives, if you will, by just uttering the word die to her. So Kyoko ends up rupturing her own eardrums so she can't hear these words, which pretty much nullifies used magic on her.
Yeah.
And then Kyoko walks up to you. It looks like they kind of embrace, and then Kyoko kind of just like self-destructs on her. And this ends up knocking you out. So now Ayumu transforms into the magical garment girl, and he starts fighting with Kyoko. You know, she's cutting him up, stabbing him, all this stuff. But he can't die, so it's pretty much useless.
Mm-hmm.
And Ayumu kind of just whittles down her remaining lives until she's down to one life. And once Kyoko is down to that last life, she kind of starts begging to be spared. And Ayumu says, you know, I can't really do that because all the people you murdered, including myself, wanted to live. So he unleashes this deadly punch, and luckily for him, I don't know if he purposely missed or if he just missed, but his punch lands right next to her head, creating a huge crater in the ground, and it seemed to have knocked Kyoko out by shock or maybe vibration of the punch. She gets knocked unconscious. And then the head teacher appears, pretty much saying that it was good that he spared her. Otherwise, she would have had to take matters into her own hands because she has a parental complex with her students.
Yeah.
And then, so she's explaining this, and then we hear a new voice. And it's being transmitted through Kyoko. And it turns out Kyoko is being possessed by our new character, who reveals himself as the King of the Night. And the King of the Night says he claims to know you and says he has future plans, but nothing planned in the immediate moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the episode goes and kind of pans back to Ayumu's house. And Yu is basically explaining to Ayumu that she turned this guy into a zombie, but he was overcome by malevolence, so she eliminated him, or so she thought. And that is the end of episode 6. So, what were your thoughts on these episodes?
Honestly, I would say that episodes 4 and 6... were much heavier than the last three have been. They dealt with, you know, death a little bit more. There wasn't as much comedy to them, but they still had their little comedic relief moments. Episode 5 was definitely, or at least for a good part of it, was a heavy fan service episode. Which I think,
say the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. You know, and I think it was something that was very much needed because first, you know, episode 4, you know, they kind of go into the backstory of Yu and kind of what happens when she speaks, what happens, you know, why she has the armor and the gauntlets and all that on. One thing on episode 4, they say that basically she can't show emotion. She can't do any of that because there's consequences to it, right? In episode, what was it, 3, 2, 3, where she eats Haruna's omelet and all of a sudden it starts raining. You know, they say it's because she showed emotion,
mm-hmm.
right? So right. Is her crying, is that going to have, you know, repercussions later on down the line?
So I think it was an immediate repercussion. I think it was immediate because the whale turns up the next day.
Yeah.
So I think her crying kind of drew this whale to her. And that's kind of why Ayumu had to go deal with this whale.
Yeah. And I think kind of what they try to show at the end of, or not at the end, I keep thinking it happened at the end, but at the beginning of episode 4, when Ayumu confronts Yu and tells her, you know, that she has to tell him everything, she has to explain everything. You know, at the end, he says that, you know, he'll be with her no matter what. And, you know, he'll face anything as it comes. So, you know, following day, you see that big whale in the sky. He quickly looks back at you and says, you know, don't worry. I told you I would deal with whatever happens. So to me, that's kind of almost seeing it as him giving her, you know, hey, it's okay if you show emotion. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. We will deal with it.
So you think she'll be more open to showing emotion in the future after realizing that Ayumu, he pretty much proved himself that he could take on whatever happened as far as, you know, situations that arise from you showing emotion.
Yeah, I think he's you know, more willing to kind of take on what might happen just because he wants her to be able to express herself. You know, I'm sure he feels a certain way about him wanting to show either affection or feelings towards her, but yet she can't reciprocate any of that because she's so powerful that something bad can happen.
Right, and he kind of goes into that a little bit at the end of episode 6, you know, as far as it's pretty obvious that Ayumu likes you at this point. And he's kind of trying to figure out if she actually likes him because she's not showing any emotion because of her powers. But yeah. He kind of asks her with the whole King of the Night thing, you know, he views it as, okay, you brought him back from the dead, just like me. Did you have feelings for him? Like, was he your boyfriend? And you basically tells him, no, he wasn't. So it'll be interesting to find out why she brought this other guy back from the dead.
Yeah, kind of wondering about that too. You know, what was her reasoning behind bringing him back? And, I mean, given that, you know, what was the reasoning behind her saving Ayumu in episode 1 or episode 2?
So I could see her kind of having a little bit of feelings for Ayumu at this point. Mm-hmm. Just because, so when they first met, Ayumu made you laugh. So he made her feel an emotion. So I think that kind of started a connection between them.
So with that being said, do you think because he gave her an emotion that triggered the King of the Night? Because I got to assume that maybe the King of the Night took over Kyoko's body and mind, and she was, in a sense, kind of held captive in her own mind. Wasn't controlling her body, and the King of the Night was the one that was going around killing people.
I don't think Ayumu's related in that case, just because the murders were taking place before Ayumu even got his power of being a zombie. Like, he got his power because of the murders. The murders didn't start because of his powers, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's more coincidence.
Yeah, I would agree. My thoughts are all jumbled on it because he seems like somebody who's fairly powerful, right? And this King of the Night comes out, starts talking. To me, it seems like he gets you a little shaken up at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, so is he on the same level as you? Is he less? Is he more? You know, what's going on with that?
I believe that would be something we would figure out in later episodes. So, how was your reaction to finding out that Kyoko is actually the murderer? Because at the end of episode 3, Kyoko basically describes her murderer as you. So, how do you think all that ties in together?
Given everything that we've kind of come across already with episodes 4, 5, and 6, it brings me back to my theory of maybe it was the King of the Night in Kyoko's body. Whether it is or isn't, it just makes me think that because I don't know why she would have any reason to call out you. At the end of episode 4, we see that Kyoko is either killed or she takes her own life. So that at first I was like, okay, I was like, so it wasn't Kyoko who does this. But I think it's episode 5 where he has the flashback to when he is it episode 5 or is it episode 4 is when he and Kuros go to the house, right? So if you pay attention to it, when the killer's hand comes into frame and basically stabs him, you see that there's no gauntlets on that hand at all. So that rules out my theory of, it might have been you. But with Kyoko killing herself at the end of episode 4, that also then left me like, okay, so it wasn't her, so then who could it be?
Yeah, my whole thing is Kyoko was able to describe you basically perfectly, which makes sense in the fact that if the King of the Night is possessing Kyoko, he would already know what you looks like. And the other thing I could see is you actually did attack Kyoko, but she was attacking Kyoko to try to save someone and ended up putting Kyoko in the hospital.
So you think maybe when Ayumu was killed, you showed up and kind of stopped Kyoko from, because it's episode 4 where Kerberos says that they get a huge power boost if they sacrifice a soul, right? So could it be that you kind of stepped in so that she wouldn't take his soul, and that's why she could describe him?
I see that being a possibility. And for people that are kind of lost, Kyoko was committing these murders to basically collect their souls. And what she was eventually going to do with those souls is still to be seen. At this point, it seems likely that she was collecting them so that she would have extra lives, basically, is kind of what it looks like just from watching these episodes. Or it could be for some other purpose that we have yet to discover in the series.
I mean, at the end of was it episode 5 where she says, where they start the fight and it basically seems like Seraphine and Ayumu kill Kyoko. So, then she comes back to life. They're all shocked, and she says, that she has 10 lives left. But yeah, I would say, yeah, if anybody's lost as to what we're talking about Kyoko and all that, definitely go back, watch episode 3. That's where you get introduced to her. I would go back, also kind of listen to episode 1 of this podcast, just because we do talk about her, a bit. But that aside, so we know she kills herself at the end of episode 4, comes back to life, and she's the one who calls Ayumu, right, to set up a date. And then, of course, they go back to Ayumu's trusty spot, the graveyard.
Does the graveyard hold any significant value? Because we've seen it a lot. Obviously, it represents death, which is a huge part of this anime's theme. But other than it representing death, do you think it has any other kind of hidden meanings to it?
You know, I think there is. I don't know what it could be. Because, I mean, we have a necromancer, right? In Yu. Right. The only one that seems out of place to me in the cemetery setting is Haruna. She's the only one who seems out of place to me. Because to me, Ayumu, that's where he feels at peace. And maybe he feels at peace because, you know, he's surrounded by other dead people. You know, whether, I mean, they're not zombies or any of that, but, you know, that's where he feels at peace. I'm assuming Yu spends her fair share of time in the cemetery or dealing with death. Seraphine, I mean, maybe she's also a little out of place, but I'm not 100% on that one. But one thing that did kind of strike me on episode 5, just kind of to get away a little bit from this talk about, you know, was it Gyoko? Was it not? Was it the King of the Night? Was it this? Was that? Kind of get away from that. Get into a little bit of the fan service of this episode. You know, at the beginning of episode 5, we see Haruna trying to retransform into the magical garment girl. And of course, she's in her room, doors closed. And she transforms, doesn't work, she's naked. You know, she doesn't seem to be scared or, you know, like embarrassed that she's naked because she's in the privacy of her room. And who decides to come into the room at that point? None other than Ayumu. You know, he's sitting there banging on the door trying to get in. She's trying to keep him out, telling him to stay out. You know, he finally breaks through the door and knocks Haruna back, and she's just sitting there naked, and he's just doing what we all did, you know, as kids. You know, sit there, put your hand up on your face, say, "I'm not looking," and you still look through the slits of your hands. A good little fan service part right there.
And I don't know if the dub and the sub line up exactly the same as far as translation, but so during that scene, Ayumu basically says, "Oh, it's not that big of a deal. There's not much to look at anyway, because Haruna is our flat-chested main character."
Is she more flat-chested than you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, come on. Did you see Yu's chest plate armor?
Yeah, but I mean, is that just chest plate armor, or is there actually any fill to that?
I would say there's probably some fill to that.
Another thing, you know, when they start the episode and we see Seraphine kissing Haruna, then to go suck her blood, you know, Ayumu's just sitting there peeking through the door, sweating profusely. I mean, what do you do in a moment like that? I think it's a little hard to pull yourself away and not peek in.
I mean, yeah. To an extent, I guess. Obviously, it's different because it's fantasy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in the real world, if I saw two girls kissing and then one bites another girl's neck, I'd be like, what the hell is going on here? You know?
What's going on here and how can I join in?
Maybe you. I would be like, I'm just going to keep walking.
What? Okay, so then to go back to what we talked about last week, I said that if I saw blood on the wall, heard screams, I would turn the other way and walk away. You said you would probably go in if you had a gun. Now we get to a moment where it's two women sucking on each other's necks. I'd go in and you'd walk away?
You, okay. You just changed it from sucking her neck to from sucking blood. Okay. If I saw blood in this other girl's mouth while she was sucking her neck, I would not go in.
But to be fair, we don't ever see blood on Seraphine's mouth after she's drinking blood from Haruna.
So there was that fan service.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's the same episode with the bathroom scene.
Yeah, when they're all taking showers together.
Well, all of them being the girls and basically wishing that he was in there with them. Because obviously.
Yeah, obviously. When you're the only zombie male in a house full of women, you obviously want to be there too.
See, if I was a zombie and I saw a girl sucking blood out of another girl's neck, then yeah, no problem. You know? But in normal life, like in real life, I would kind of be a little freaked out.
All right, so we'll say it's a 50-50. If you're a zombie, yeah, sure, go on in. Nothing to worry about. If you're not, maybe walk away.
Maybe. So did you get any other interesting things happening in these three episodes?
Yeah, actually. It seems like Haruna has some feelings for Ayumu.
I agree.
If you pay attention to episode 4, when the whale shows up, she tells him, go defeat him for me and only me. To me, it seems like she has some strong feelings for him. Whether they're going to be reciprocated or not, I don't know. Would you... out of the three, which one would you say you would... Okay. All right.
Well, it's between you and Seraphine.
Why are you discounting Haruna?
Not even on the list. Too young. You know, well, Seraphine being a vampire, she could at least be over 100, you know, so there's no problem with age in that. Well, not if she looks like she's 20, you know?
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one.
And then you, she's got to be pretty old, or at least old enough. But yeah, Haruna, doesn't she say she's pretty young?
You know, I have no idea what the ages of any of these three is. I know they say, like in the synopsis of the anime, that Ayumu is a teenage student.
Yeah, but that, I mean, you could be a teenage student and be 13, you know?
Yeah.
I do think he is in high school.
Yeah, I think he is. Okay, but, yeah. Let's see if we can find something out about Haruna. The other thing too is when her teacher calls, you know, and Ayumu answers it, and basically says, you know, that, oh well, you know, when she's not interested in something, she doesn't remember it at all. But when she is, you know, she will remember it. And Ayumu is the only person whose name she actually remembers.
Right, because through the series, she's calling Seraphine by different names, you know, like vampire, ninja, and such. And she calls you necromancer. And then obviously Ayumu, she calls him Ayumu.
Yeah. So yeah, I think she definitely has feelings for him. I don't know if they're gonna be reciprocated in this. I honestly don't remember if they are.
Well, it seems like Ayumu was pretty head over heels for you.
Yeah, I think he is.
Now, staying kind of on topic with this whole harem thing, how do you feel Seraphine is developing with Ayumu?
You know, she constantly just puts him down every episode. In episode 5, I think it is, or episode 4, she gets, or at least in the Japanese version, she gets way heavier with her put downs of him. But when they start fighting in the graveyard, there's not one time that I noticed that she talks bad to him. You know, calls him Ayumu, tells him, you know, he needs to transform, but doesn't say anything else that, you know, makes you think, oh man, you know, she's still ripping him a new one.
So in the dub, pretty much any time he needs to transform into this magical garment girl, she's basically saying, even though the sight of it disgusts me, it's kind of time to transform. So in the dub version, she still kind of puts him down a little bit in the fight scenes, but that's pretty much the extent. But I can see her kind of start falling for Ayumu, if you will, in her own way.
Yeah, I could see that possibly happening. Like I said, she, from everything that I noticed on episodes 5 and 6, she doesn't talk bad to him. She, you know, refers to him by his name, you know, keeps it, if you will, respectable. But yeah, nothing else. So she might be turning a new leaf with him. She might just have forgotten to put him down. You know, I'm sure we'll find that out as we go farther into the series.
Yeah, I think we will. And how do you feel about our last character in the harem, Yu? How do you think she feels with Ayumu?
I think she's warming up to him more than what she was. You know, for her to show emotion and cry because she thinks that Ayumu hates her definitely makes me think that there's something there. You know, she definitely probably thinks highly of what he thinks of her. And then on episode 6, I believe, you know, at the very end, then they're talking. You know, she kind of smiles at him a bit. So
Right.
I think that's definitely them kind of moving their relationship, you know, forward. Something that might develop even more. Maybe he'll end up with her. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I can't really say. What about you? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you likes him. I do. I think she likes him. She's just afraid of showing emotions because of what happens when she does show emotion. I think she's kind of scared to get close to him because she's afraid she's gonna hurt him. But I definitely think she's If she doesn't already, she's starting to like him.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that.
And kind of circling back with our whole, well, you cried and the whale showed up because she showed this emotion. Do you think something is going to happen because of her smiling at the end of episode 6?
It might.
Yeah,
It
I could
honestly
definitely
might.
see something happening.
Yeah, because like we said, when she eats the omelet, you know, it starts to rain. When she cries, the following day the megalo appears. And I would say that something might happen just because They flash back to when the crawfish was attacking Ayumu and Haruna. And he says, you know, he was attracted by some extremely powerful magic. You know, is he talking about Ayumu being the magical garment girl? Is he talking about maybe Yu's power level? You know, so, yeah, I could definitely see something there.
As can I. And I think we will figure that out in the next 3 episodes, which we should be releasing another podcast next week on those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, we should be. As of right now, the way it sits, there's going to be at least 2 more podcasts on the last couple episodes of the first season. So yeah, I mean, we definitely might see something where maybe some feelings are, you know, exposed. Maybe somebody says something, somebody acts on something. I'm not sure. One thing I will say is I'm really interested on what's going to happen with this King of the Night character.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a major player, I feel, as far as moving the plot along.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's going to have kind of the same effect on you as, what was it? Was it the crawfish megalo that made Haruna get so scared that she kind of froze in place?
Maybe, because that's where she kind of discovered she didn't have her powers anymore.
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to get at is in episode 5 or 6, when they start fighting, Kyoko does something as well, something similar to where she freezes Haruna almost in place with fear again. So I'm wondering if this King of the Night might end up doing something like that to you. And maybe it's going to be up to Ayumu to maybe defeat him. You know, maybe Yu's not going to be around at all for that fight.
Yeah, maybe not. We'll have to wait and see in next week's episode.
I think we will. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything else that stands out to you in between episodes 4, 5, and 6?
I think we pretty much covered everything that kind of stuck out to me. If you don't have anything to add.
No, I mean, the only thing that I have to add is Ayumu's magical garments when he gets to 1,000%. To me, gave me serious Cardcaptor Sakura vibes. But that would be about it. Other than that, I mean, I think we've kind of covered everything on episodes 4, 5, and 6. Maybe derailed a bit here and there. But no, I think we've kind of covered the majority of episodes 4, 5, and 6. I mean, it goes without saying, you know, you should definitely sit down, watch these episodes for yourself. You know, maybe there's something we missed. Maybe there's something we didn't catch. Or maybe we just saw a certain scene out of context or saw it completely different than what everybody else will see it. For me, I would say sit down, watch this anime, kind of get your own opinions about it. Right now, as far as I know, the anime is on Funimation. I think that's where you're watching it, right?
Yeah, I'm watching it on Funimation.
So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely give it a watch, you know. Watch first 3 episodes, listen to episode 1 of the podcast. You know, let us know if what we saw, what we recapped on those first 3 episodes was fairly spot on for you. Maybe we missed something, like I said. Then come watch episodes 4, 5, and 6. Listen to this one. Maybe, again, we're missing something. We're not capturing something. Maybe we're missing something. But, I mean, you know, drop us a line. Let us know. And you guys can actually reach us at AnimeUnion2 anime union@gmail.com. Which, funny enough, I did not know that the name Anime Union was so popular that we had to be Anime Union 2.
Popular enough to be number 2.
Popular enough to be number 2.
Yeah, and with that email, so we're open to suggestions, you know. You can talk to us about, is this a zombie? You could talk to us about other animes, because this isn't the only anime I'm watching at the moment, and I'm sure Ed is watching others as well. But if you have any questions, concerns, just want to drop in and say hi, you can reach us at that email.
Yeah, and like I said, shoot us, you know, if you guys have a suggestion for an anime. So once we finish this, you know, another thing, and this is something we'll discuss, we'll figure out. If you guys want us to continue on to season 2, let us know. If you guys want us to go to another anime, again, just let us know, because we are open to watching anything, recapping it, and we are also interested in giving you guys animes that we have watched that maybe have flown under the radar, you know, that you guys don't know about, that are honestly pretty good animes. So, yeah, drop us a line, animeunion2@gmail.com. You could always listen to the Anime Union podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and on Anchor FM. I think you have to go to their website, or you might be able to download an app. I'm not 100%. Stop on by. Give it a listen. Tell us, hey, yeah, you guys were spot on. Or, hey, no, you guys went way out to left field and never came back. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know what you guys want us to cover next. And, I mean, Jacob, unless you have anything else, I think we're done.
All I have to say is thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening or the rest of your day, depending on when you listen to this.
Exactly. Well, guys, with that being said, my name is Ed.
And I'm Jacob.
And guys, we will catch you in the next episode.